Is this going to deter you from bringing your phone into the bathroom?
Don't bring your smartphone into the bathroom if you can help it, okay? My study in my lab found that people who bring their smartphones in have a 46% high risk of having hemorrhoids because it really does suck your time away.
Wow.
Yeah, hemorrhoids.
Wait
wow.
A minute. Yeah.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I give it up for at least she's got an original angle. Yeah. I hadn't heard that one before.
Listen to the person that's interviewing her, his reaction to the hemorrhoids.
Because it really does suck your time away.
Wow.
Really? Get out of here.
That is fascinating.
You spend so much time on the toilet with your phone. Now you're getting hemorrhoids. Wow.
Something else to be terribly upset about. Wow.
Yeah. And then she continues. There's a logical thing you can do.
At the very least, set a 2 TikTok limit.
2 TikToks is like 30 seconds. If you're going into the bathroom, you need more than 30 seconds anyway. This is a tale as old as time. I will tell you.
I don't think it is. I mean, I don't feel like at the dawn of man, they were talking about hemorrhoid exposure if you were on the John too long with your phone.
I remember a time, Raven. People always think, oh, just now we bring our phones into the bathroom and we watch TV shows and we watch and we scroll. No.
Yeah.
No. I remember when I was little, my mom used to have Reader's Digest.
Oh, yeah.
And in the bathroom, there would be like 6 years worth of Reader's Digest. And I remember being like 9.
Yeah.
Flipping through those pages.
If it wasn't Reader's Digest, too, for your dad, you had to have like the crossword puzzle or the joke book.
Right.
There was the toilet humor book that was in there, too.
We didn't
Reader's
get
Digest, man.
That was a good one.
I tell you what, they used to have the novel snippets, mm-hmm. right? What did they call those? Drama mm-hmm. in real life or whatever? You remember those?
Not that I don't remember.
Oh, you would read it and you'd be so engrossed. And then all of a sudden it cut off and you'd be like, if you want to know the rest of the story, you got to get the book. This is before the internet, Anna. You couldn't get the book in 2 seconds.
But those people, no, back then we didn't get hemorrhoids. No. That was completely different back then.
We were hardier people.
Magazines. And I remember if I went into a bathroom and there was nothing to read, there was no magazine. Like, remember, they used to be on the back of the toilet, or there would be like a thing where
there was
you
a rack.
Magazines, a rack, right?
Yeah.
I would grab like a bottle of Pert Plus or a shampoo or a conditioner or a lotion. And yeah. I would just read the ingredients or read whatever was written on the bottle to pass the time.
Kids today, they're so spoiled, man.
They have no idea.
Imagine that, right? Like you're reading a bottle of Head and Shoulders because you just have to keep your brain active while you're in there doing your business.
But nobody got hemorrhoids back then? Get out of here.
No, we didn't. We didn't though. We were tougher.
And have a 46% high risk of having hemorrhoids because it really does suck your time away.
Wow.
I mean, 46%
is high.
That's a long time spending on the toilet. How long are you in the toilet? 3 weeks?
That's a high percentage.
Oh, I just wanted a little bit more time. A little bit more time.
You're over there geeking out. I want you to know, in behind the scenes here in the studio, Anna is over there sorting through all sorts of different audio about some terrible speech. I can hear it in your headphones, and I'm sure you think it's wonderful. And no matter what, you feel like more of it should be included in the conversation we're about to have. And I'm going to say you're wrong. But okay, let's go.
I was a public speaking professor at a university for a few years, mm-hmm. and I love a great written speech. And I have to say, a lot of the speeches that are being given at graduations this year, the keynote speakers, it's a lot of AI. They talk about AI. The audience is booing.
And boring.
Right. And then I listen to somebody like Tom Brady, who's at the Georgetown commencement this past year, right?
Okay.
And he says this.
The odds are your 28-3 moment won't end with a trophy or a parade. It may not even end in victory. It almost didn't for us. But that's not really the point. These are all just momentary tests where failure isn't final. Only quitting is. The choice to fight is an opportunity to succeed, yes, but it's also your chance to grow. To show everyone that while you may be beatable, you are unbreakable.
I mean, how does AI replicate that? You can't.
Well, I mean, he also did play the game where they came back from 28-3, and a robot can't talk about that as if it was an experience and it had.
He has a niche, right? He has a niche.
Right. There's a lane for him, right.
So I was thinking about it. I was like, all right, let's do AI versus me. All right, so you read the AI speech that was generated.
Oh, you're going to make me go first?
Yes. What was your prompt?
Okay. I prompted that I wanted a 30-second graduation speech.
Okay.
And the only tailoring that I did to it whatsoever is I said I wanted it to be more American and about discovery when I put it on there because it was the same blasé stuff. So I wanted like JFK, like space type thing.
Right.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, here we go.
Written by AI.
Good evening, graduates, families, teachers, and honored guests. America has always been defined by people willing to explore the unknown, take risks, and meet challenges head on. That same spirit lives in each of you today. Your journey to this stage was not always easy. Yet every challenge taught you something about yourselves, discovering strengths you didn't know you had, and the courage to keep moving forward when the path wasn't clear. As graduates, you inherit a nation built by dreamers, innovators, and pioneers. The future will not be shaped by those who wait for opportunity. It will be shaped by those who create it.
It's AI salad.
Thank you.
So that was
fantastic.
All right.
Wow, that was good.
All right, my turn.
Yeah, yeah.
No AI. And that was word salad.
Yes.
That was literally just like
word salad. It was, yeah, it was America, America. But yeah, do great things. Yeah, create things. Yeah. For some, that might be word salad. For other people, that's like a, you know, a mission in life. But okay.
There are moments in your life that are just bigger than others. And this is one of those moments because one door is closing and another is opening. Today, there's one message. Don't be afraid of opening new doors. You're going to have plenty of window opportunities. You'll see right through them. It'll be safe. It'll have very little risk. Now, today, I'm urging you to walk by those windows and go to the doors. You're going to have opportunities that are scary. Those doors are going to be horrifying because you don't know what's on the other side. But if you don't open them, you're never going to know. So when those doors present themselves, bust right through. Open with confidence. And be ready to embrace what's on the other side. God bless, class of 2026.
I don't want to be hurtful, but I think your abstractness kind of lost me. I would have rather imagined myself on a rocket or climbing a mountain.
I'm
going to
go win
but, you know
eight
what,
Super Bowls, and then we'll see what I can get.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. I mean, I'm sure somebody got it.
Yeah,
right.
$20,000.
$3,500.
My tickets were $1,350.
They bought $4,300.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, you know what? There's some bargains in there, though. $1,350. Yeah, I mean,
for one seat?
For the things that I heard, I think that was standing room, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I think that there was a lot of people that were on their feet last night that paid thousands of dollars. But big, big game.
Yeah, big money spent to see Game 3 of the NBA Finals. The Spurs told the Knicks basically to sit down, and they won 115 to 111. All right, Knicks still lead 2-1, but as much as action was happening on the court, the real story was about what was happening in the crowd. Now, those tickets to get in were astronomical. What do you do if you're a season ticket holder, though?
I have a season ticket holder for 23 years. Okay. Go Knicks. My tickets are selling online for about $20,000 tonight, and my Wednesday tickets are selling for $25,000, but I don't care.
He's not going to sell them.
I mean, listen, man, you're talking about people that have been there with their fandom for years and years. Some of these people, decades. The saddest part is the fact that, you know, your grandmother that loved the Knicks on a Wednesday when they sucked for 20 years doesn't get to go.
Right.
Right? That's the sad part.
Who did get to go? President Trump was there, which caused massive backup because there was just so much security. If you look at pictures of the security, it's wild. They put up fences all around Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
Mayor Mondami was there, too. He said he paid $1,000 for his standing only space, which I think it's crazy. You just put people in a corner. You're like, you stand here. That's what you get
to
do.
It's relatively thin. I mean, I would think that the mayor could just be escorted in.
Yeah, but how about all the people that couldn't get in?
We tried to buy some and we added three to our cart and then
came out to about $25,000. So we won't be attending today.
No.
Everybody knows that you don't buy an odd number of tickets anyways. Come on, man.
Why?
Three to a cart. What are you, a bunch of weirdos? Find somebody else to go. It's two or it's four.
That's not a
real
thing.
That's it.
I just bought three tickets the other day to see Olivia Rodrigo.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Anna, is that no matter what they cost, no matter what they're charging, there's always somebody that's going to slide past that doorman and get in there somehow. And
you
that's the coolest story that's in the building.
I
yes.
Mean, I don't,
it
I
happens every time.
I can't imagine anybody was able to get by that security.
No, there's somebody that knows somebody in vending or something like that or whatever. And at the last minute, they're like, dude, just stand here. It happens all the time. If you're in the right position at the right time, you can get in there.
I'm too scared to sneak into things. I'm like, I'm so nervous.
I'm going to give you my top three sneak-ins of all time. Are you ready?
Yes.
Top three sneak-ins of all time. Beastie Boys, Rage Against the Machine at Madison Square Garden. I brought a walkie-talkie, and every time somebody went to stop me wherever I walked, I just pointed at them with the walkie-talkie and then clicked the mic and was like, hold on a minute, I got something I got to deal with here. And then I would talk to an imaginary person on the other line, and they just kept escorting me through.
How is that possible?
True story.
How is that possible?
I also had a clipboard. Imagine me with a clipboard and a walkie-talkie.
I'm going to guess the president wasn't there.
No, he was not there that night.
No.
Number two, top all-time sneak-ins of Raven's list here. Private Party, Run DMC, Ja Rule, X Games. We wrote a name that we overheard in the crowd on the back of a business card and walked in. We even got in before the athletes. Ja Rule threw his shirt at my friend's face and he caught it. And he smelled it. weirdest thing I'll ever remember.
What was the name?
What do you mean?
Like the name that you overheard that got you in.
Oh, I don't remember. It was some record rep guy or something. I don't even know. It's just some person we never knew. And number one sneak in of Raven's life, my career, Anna, the VIP area at Planet Hollywood at Woodstock 99. My tent was right next to the toilet. I was living life of luxury while everybody else was swimming in a river of
sewage.
Feces water,
You want to know how I know? Because I was swimming in that sewer water.
I would have paid if you knew me back then,
I was in Tent City.
If you had known me back then, you might be nicer to me now.
Yeah, maybe. Great news if you have thunder thighs. Woo!
Can you even say that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, listen. As somebody who has not been a big fan of my thighs for my whole entire life, this is great news. Listen to the internet doctor.
All right.
New research says that the size of your thighs predicts how long you will live.
Yep. You want to live forever?
Come on.
You got monster thighs.
So next time you walk in for a physical, they're just going to grab you by your thighs?
Yep.
That doesn't make sense.
He continues.
People with smaller thighs had significantly higher rates of heart disease and premature death. Thigh size independently predicted how long people lived.
Yep.
First off, that sounds unbelievably fake because heart disease is often tied to obesity. So if you've got thin thighs, all of a sudden you're quicker to get heart disease.
He clarifies.
But here's what I think most people get completely wrong about this. It's not about fat, but about muscle. Your thighs are the largest muscle group in your body. And leg muscle mass turns out to be one of the most powerful predictors of how long you'll survive.
Show me a photo of this guy, because this dude sounds like he's been a doctor about 8 minutes. He's not really actually like a medical doctor.
He's an Instagram doctor. I didn't vet him. I didn't check his degrees.
Yeah. Okay,
but
that's
look at
what
Justin.
I thought.
Justin is nodding like crazy.
Quads, man. Quads.
It's all about your quads.
Do not skip leg day.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
All right, we have a tape measure. We're going to measure our thighs, and we're going to see who's going to live the longest.
We definitely should have had like a tailor's, like, you know, like seamstress like tape measure. Mm-hmm. But okay, I'll go first.
I'll write down everyone's thigh size.
Oh, here we go. Raven's where am I going? Size. Like in the thickest part?
Yeah, your most muscular part of your thighs.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you how long you're going to live.
All right,
Raven's thighs.
Wait a minute. You've got a scale?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Nope.
My thigh is...
How many inches is your thigh?
I'm trying to get an accurate 24. It's 2 feet.
24 inch thighs.
Yeah.
All right.
But now this means that... Well, I'm not going to touch your guys' thighs, but we're going to make sure Justin measures it the same way. Get over here, Justin.
Justin, let's go.
Bring your thighs over here.
Measure Justin's thighs.
This is not something I signed up for today, but I'm doing it because I'm so competitive. I want to win.
Justin's thighs. Let's see how much Justin's... Justin cannot wait for us to measure his thighs.
He can't. He's so anxious.
It looks like he's flexing. Flexing his thigh.
His are 24.
24 inch thighs.
Oh, my gosh. How can we have the same thigh?
All right. Let's see.
All right. Sophia, this is inappropriate. You take it.
Sophia, measure your thighs.
All right.
Now, Sophia and I are also wearing jeans.
Now, you got to pull it taut and get a good measurement.
All right, Sophia.
I'm going to pull it taut.
All right. Let's see.
All right. Here we go.
Let's see.
I want to win this so bad. I have no idea why from this fake doctor. Why do I want to win this so bad? What's wrong with me?
9 inches.
No.
That's fake.
That's 21. It's definitely clearly 21.
All right. Thank you.
Wait, what's the rest?
9 inches. How do you get 9 to 21?
I was looking at the
You mean bed. Like if you went through it, maybe. Oh, if you went through your thigh. All right. Anna, let's go.
Oh, hold on. I'm figuring out the math.
Okay.
Wait, the fact that Sophia doesn't know how to use a tape measure.
It's so great. I mean, that's kind of like you figuring out the math. I don't know. All right, here we go.
Okay.
All right, measure that thigh. All right, any good? It's not going to be.
Oh, no.
It's going to be the thinnest.
That might be 9 inches.
It's 20 inches and a half.
20 inches and a half. You've got the thinnest thigh. You're going to outlive the rest of us, according to fake doctor guy.
The fattest thighs. Well,
most muscular.
I'm sorry, I got turned
most
around.
Muscular.
I got turned around on that.
All right, so here we go. Raven and Justin are going to live to 84. Sophia, you get to live to, like, I don't know, 76.
I don't know. She's just generalizing now on the numbers here. This science has gotten shaky.
I've got like 3 weeks left.
You should eat a cheeseburger today. Yeah. That's what you should do. All right.
You know, it's summertime when you hear about people opening their pools and finding things.
Ugh.
And without fail, there's always at least 6 of these stories, and this year is no different.
The sight of a massive 9-foot alligator resting at the bottom of their pool stunned her.
I was like, Mike, there's a gator in the pool.
Mike, assuming he'd see a 2 or 3 foot creature, was also taken aback by what he saw.
A trapper came out here with some gear to get a 6-foot alligator out and said that thing's 9 feet and went back and got bigger gear. It's kind of nuts.
I love it when a guy, like hunters, fishermen, that type of thing, they can look at something and instantly know how long it is, right? Like it's, you know what I mean? Like it's like Jaws. He's like, it's 20 footer, 25, 4 tons of them. You know, it's the same thing. The guy walks out, he's got his trap, like you said, immediately says, oh, this is 6 foot, that's a 9 foot. I got to go back to the car. I'll
that
be back.
9 feet and went back and got bigger gear.
The guy got bigger gear in the
car. I'm
going to
need a bigger boat.
Don't worry.
No question about it.
I got this all under control.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're, you know, adjacent to the Everglades or whatever, you got invasive species all over the place. You got to be ready for that. Luckily, I'm not in quite that climate, but I did find something quite surprising when I opened up the pool this year.
What was it?
And every year there's, you know, something. So last year, the pool when I opened it up was brown. Completely brown, disgusting, totally a mess there. It was like finding a tree in there that had been all sorts of holes in the cover. This year, I opened it up. It was beautiful blue. I said, this is going to be easy. And then all of a sudden, there was a frog right upside my face, Anna.
A frog.
Like there was like 5 frogs in there. Oh. 5 frogs. And for whatever reason, these frogs are aggressive, and they were like jumping and climbing up on me. You know, you try and get like the little net thing and get them out of there. No, these guys were like climbing up it and coming at my face.
Well, they've been stuck under a tarp for the last 6 months.
You'd think that this is the most pleasant place they could be because they want the water, obviously. Typically, when they're babies, they're like this little gray, weird, like it just... It looks like a slug almost. Mm. It's like slimy or whatever. These guys were full grown. These were like, you know, to half the size of your palm.
Wow.
Like big. Yeah. And gross.
Did any of them go for your face or like just jumped out? Like, what did they do? Did
one tried to climb right, but he got on my arm. And then I went inside and I washed my arm for like 5 minutes because I was like, you know, it's going to fall off.
Yeah.
And then warts. I think that's toads, but whatever. I was freaked out by the whole thing. And then the whole thing is like, so I, you know, I'm an animal lover, so I can't just get rid of them. So I take them and I chuck them over the fence. And then I've got a new neighbor, and my wife's like, the new neighbor's going to know you chucked it over the fence.
Wait a minute.
And then she's like, it's not far enough. We can still hear them because they start singing at night. You know what I mean? It's like frog mating season right now. If you didn't know that, let me inform you.
Hold on.
Yeah. These are things that you never thought you'd know about, but now you know about because you have a pool.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The frogs were in your pool.
Yep.
So to humanely get rid of them, you threw them over your fence into your neighbor's yard.
Correct.
But you know that they're still there because you hear them mating at night.
Well, I hear them singing to each other. That's how they find the mates.
Okay.
When you find the two of them together, it's a little bit awkward, I have to say.
All right.
I've done that because they start singing at night. You come out with the flashlight. That's when you find them. You get rid of them. And there's nothing like walking up and a couple of them are, you know, they're handling their business.
This is weird.
They're making tadpoles.
How about, all right, moving on. What did you find when you opened your pool? You pulled back the tarp, you're ready to clean it up, and you're like, ah!
Was it somebody's bedroom? Because that's what I saw.
Okay.
All right, it's uncomfortable.
1-800-330-9999.
You're like, I didn't give you permission to do that here.
You know, it's pool opening season when these news reports start.
The sight of a massive 9-foot alligator resting at the bottom of their pool stunned her.
I was like, Mike, there's a gator in the pool.
I would feel the exact same way. Yep.
Yeah, that's scary. And you know what? I mean, it's just another reason to make sure that you open your eyes every time you go out to the water before you dive on in. Wow, that's scary.
Raven opened his pool this year. What did you find?
I found a bunch of frogs, man. Tree frogs. And they climbed up my arms when I tried to get them out with the net.
Ew.
Oh, it was gross.
Yeah. What did you find when you opened your pool? 1-800-330-9999.
I have like all these trees around it and then there's black cover over the pool. And you just see like things just kind of like floating in there. One time I saw something just kind of like splash. And like, what is that? I took my little pool net and I tried pulling it out and it seemed that it was like this poor squirrel is just struggling for its life, just trying to swim right out there too. And let me tell you, just like I wouldn't recommend like being that close to it too, because he was running right up that pole when I started getting him. But that was like the weirdest, most bizarre interaction I've had with a squirrel in my life. I'll say that.
Nice of you though to save his life.
Save that squirrel.
Mm.
You can.
I saved a chipmunk one time, not out of the pool. You remember I had a serious chipmunk problem.
In your house?
This sounds terrible. No, not in the house, but outside of the house, out back of the house, my old house.
What was in the
So tree? I had to do chipmunk traps. I had to do, and you know, here's the thing. You know, poison, all that, it's all terrible. So I didn't want to do any of that. So I did the old farmer's trick. You got to have the bucket with the bird seed in it. It's filled with water, and they just jump in there. And unfortunately, they go to their doom, basically. Oh. Right? You know, they go to
chipmunk heaven. But you thought that was better than giving them poison?
But I came out one time, and there was a chipmunk in there, and he was swimming and trying to make his way. And I looked at him, and he made me feel terrible. And so I grabbed a stick, and I stuck it down in there, and he latched onto it like I had lowered a basket from a Coast Guard helicopter.
Yeah.
He was like, get me out of here, bro. And when I pulled him out, he did the same thing, and I think he tried to bite me, but...
I was about to say, you're lucky he didn't, like, squirrel attack your face.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
Flying squirrel.
He was the last one I gave a pass to, though.
It's weird that you think that's more humane than just giving them poison.
It's all terrible. I didn't feel good about any of it.
Yeah.
And here I am, though, all these years later, trying to be a better person. Squirrels are screwing stuff up. Chipmunks are screwing up the property.
Remember when you went through that time where the rabbits were having babies in your yard and you kept driving them 5 miles away?
Not the babies, but the parents, I would... Yeah. Bye.
Get in the car. Yeah. We're going down the street 5 miles.
That's right.
Cassie, what did you find when you opened your pool?
So we rolled back the pool cover, and I swear it was like a movie, like dun, dun, dun. We see floating my daughter's stuffed animal, this bear that she'd been searching for, that I grounded my son for because I was positive that he's the one that hit it. And he had 2 weeks with no iPad, and it was in the pool. I don't know how it got in there, but it was in the pool, floating.
I mean, that's probably where you're about to get rid of the evidence.
That's so exactly.
I don't know. You're saying your son's all of a sudden innocent, and I'm just saying there's a next level to this.
Yeah,
right? That's what I'm saying. But
it's immediately what I thought. I'm like, I know how it got there.
But I know he's moldy and nasty by then. He's scary looking.
Ben, what did you find in your pool when you opened it?
A dead bee. I scooped it out by hand, and it stung me, and my hand was swollen for like 3 days.
That's weird, right?
It's weird.
You know, we get these little tiny bees that, for whatever reason, for a week or two when the pool first opens up, they're all in the pool like crazy. And they, when they sting you, hurt worse than like a full-size bee. It's weird.
Yep.
I don't know what kind of bees they are.
Power bees. They're power bees.
Power bees?
Yeah.
I never heard of that before, but I don't like them.
No.
Not a big fan.
It's the best of the best facing off. Can valedictorians beat Ravens?
All this week, it's valedictorians going head-to-head against Raven. Let's see if Raven knows about all the things they've learned about in high school.
Listen, they may be super smart in their neighborhoods, in their community, Anna. I'm super smart out here on the planet Earth.
Hey, Emma, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. Congratulations on being valedictorian. That's wild.
Thank you so much.
How exciting. What are you going to be doing with your future? Where are you going? What are you going to be studying?
I'm going to Princeton for economics.
What was your GPA?
I had a 4.6.
Wow.
Out of four.
Right. It's pretty amazing there. Well, congratulations again. All right, here we go.
What do you want to do in your life? Like you said you want to study economics?
Yeah, something in finance. I'm not exactly sure yet, though.
Right. She's going to be wicked rich.
I know. Congratulations. We're so proud of you. Your parents must be so proud
of you, too.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck.
All right. Here's the thing, Emma. It doesn't matter how many get right, because I'm still going to give you this gift card. It'll buy you like 6 pages of one textbook that you'll need, but that's all right. Sound good?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
All right. Here we go. 5 questions. Number one, in Of Mice and Men, what is Lenny's dream?
Oh, like to like have a farm?
Number two, what is the name of the bond formed when atoms share electrons?
Oh my gosh, electron bond?
Number three, what was the name of the economic policy program launched by President Franklin D. Roosevelt during the Great Depression?
The New Deal.
Number four, what is the derivative of x squared?
2x.
Number five, how many amendments are there in the U.S. Constitution?
I don't know, 13?
All right, well, I can tell you this. I would have gotten one of those, and you got three. So let me bring Raven back in.
All right, let's go.
3 out of 5 for Emma.
All right, here we go. Let's see how I do.
Number one, in Of Mice and Men, what is Lenny's dream?
He wants to walk free, and there'd be no pain in the earth anymore, and and the mouse would be fine.
No,
and he would take everybody's disease. No, wait a minute, that's the Green Mile. I got confused.
Okay,
same actor was in both of them. I don't know.
I don't know why you're so mad. Okay, to own a farm. And to tend the rabbits.
Didn't I say that?
No.
I said love
said,
everything.
And you said something tend about mice. You said something about mice.
Right.
All right, number two. What is the name of the bond formed when atoms share electrons?
Wait a minute. When atoms share electrons, it is I don't know.
A covalent bond.
I knew it. I'm so upset. All right.
Number
three.
I'm
going to get these last three. Watch.
What was the name of the economic policy program launched by President Franklin D. Roosevelt during the Great Depression?
The New Deal.
The New Deal's right.
Yes.
Yes.
Woo!
All right, great. Oh my gosh, you have a chance to tie.
Here we go.
Okay, you got to get the next two right.
All right.
What is the derivative of x squared?
What? Why would you? X?
2x.
Nope.
Nope. And number five, how many amendments are in the U.S. Constitution?
Oh, man, is there...
You're just literally blowing air.
I'm feeling 23 or 43. I'm going to say 43.
27. Emma, you beat Raven 3-1 today. That's going to get you this Amazon gift card to get you not nearly as much stuff as you're going to need for your dorm room at Princeton. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that Mercy education really showing through.
Yeah,
good job.
Right.
Good job.
Yeah. We're going to have another valedictorian coming up same time tomorrow. Ninety showed up to the game last night.
Yeah, there was a lot of people in the house.
That's the one thing that sets the Knicks home games apart from others is celebrity row.
Well, Lakers games are very popular, too.
Of course, but obviously. They are famous for having the most A-listers show up religiously for their games. Mm. And the Spurs certainly were not starstruck, and they beat the Knicks 115-111 last night.
You keep talking it up like you're like some sort of Spurs fan. You're just reading something that you got from somewhere,
I am impartial.
You know what? You
impartial.
Are? Well, the refs are supposed to be, too, and they didn't appear to be last night, but that's all right.
The most famous name in the audience, though, was certainly President Trump. And when they sang the national anthem, this is Broadway's Avery Wilson, you can probably figure out when the cameras panned to him.
These brush stripes and bright stars.
Yay!
Don't worry.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, but you want to know why he said afterwards that he had a wonderful time and the crowd mostly cheered for him, so that was good. He was unbothered by the booze.
You know what?
That.
I mean, whatever.
Right, exactly.
The game is on.
Yeah.
Right? On Wednesday, we will see you again, San Antonio.
So the Knicks released a list, which I thought was really interesting, of the celebrities that would be in attendance, which is weird. I'm like, why would you release a list, an official list of who's coming? Mm. But like I said, there were 90 names on that list.
Okay.
There was Ben Stiller. Mm-hmm. There was Spike Lee, which FYI, Spike Lee, he was wearing his jersey that was signed by the Pope. just for a little good luck.
You know what? I mean, here was the thing is the cutaways to him still on the pregame show. Like, I think we've had enough of that over the decades. Personally, myself, I have. Well, most people, I think, when they see him, they're like, who is this? But all right.
I think over the decades is an interesting thing. Timothée Chalamet, he has been a courtside mainstay.
New Knicks guy.
Yes,
right. Like,
yes.
Big time Knicks fan.
It helps when your girlfriend is a Kardashian / Jenner because she's got $1 billion because the only way you can actually afford to continue to stay.
I mean, I think he's doing all right, too. He's doing okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if you...
He was in Dune, all of them,
Those tickets last night were expensive.
Yeah, they were crazy. They were crazy.
And if you wanted to stay in Celebrity Row, that was a whole lot of money. They actually gave people the opportunity to bid on two seats in Celebrity Row, and it sold for $1 million.
Yeah, and it's going to go to charity.
It is, so
which is good, but that's a drop in the bucket, honestly.
Yeah,
they could do a lot more with that. But I saw Pete Davidson; he was about 18 rows in.
Right, exactly. Ben Stiller, Fat Joe, Tracy Morgan, Tina Fey, Jay Z, Larry David, looking bored as usual. Then you got all like
that's just his face,
right? Derek Jeter, A-Rod, Eli Manning. I mean, everybody was there.
Yeah.
But the one surprise was that Cardi B gets up and she performs during halftime, and after her show, she was asked a very important question.
What would a win for the Knicks tonight mean for New York?
It's gonna mean the rats will disappear, trees will start growing, potholes will be filled, Statue of Liberty is gonna finally walk. It's going to mean everything.
Bad
news. Did she say tacos will be filled?
She said potholes will be filled.
I love her.
Yes.
I love me some Cardi B.
Yeah.
Just go to her whenever we are in the middle of something big.
Terrible news. Still gonna be rats.
The rats are gonna leave.
Statue of Liberty not walking today.
I love it. What a great vision, though. Thank you, Cardi B.
But I looked back.
I missed that.
Looked back at 1999.
Yeah.
What celebrity celebrities were there in 1999 that were still there last night. Not Timothy
Spike
Chalamet.
Lee.
But yeah, Spike Lee, because he wasn't born yet.
Ben Stiller,
yeah. Spike Lee, the one, Chris Rock. But
Chris
the one,
Rock, yeah.
One person that I didn't see there that I thought for sure we'd see was Adam Sandler. Where was Adam Sandler?
Saving his money.
Right, maybe.
In front of a 100-inch screen somewhere and his castle, saving money, thinking the mortgage is paid.
Yep. Is there an actual right way or a wrong way to do your laundry? We've been going back and forth on this because I'm an anarchist. All of it goes in one pile. It goes in, it goes out of the washing machine, and then it goes in the dryer. I don't even know if it's hot or cold water. Whatever, I push the buttons, and it seems fine to me.
I'm so glad that we have an expert here today. If he doesn't say what it is I expect him to say, I'm going to get sick. Because I feel like when you talk about it like that, it just gives me instant anxiety and stress.
Laundry expert Richard Handel. He is from Consumer Reports. You can find them online at consumerreports.org. Richard, is there a right or wrong way, or as long as it gets in one and then goes in the dryer, you're good?
Well, first of all, laundry is a very personal thing, and people take it surprisingly very seriously. Mm-hmm. There are righter ways or better ways to do your laundry. There are ways that will get it done, and sometimes that turns out good results, sometimes it's less than good results. One way to do it is just pile everything in there. I know I did that as a college kid, you know, you're paying for every load. But now I have maybe clothes I care about more, mm-hmm. so I want to treat them a little better. Try to separate light from dark clothes, the heavyweight material from the lightweight, dark colors with light colors. So it really depends on how much you care about your items.
Richard, I'll tell you right now, my generations before me and my family raised me on the results from Consumer Reports. So I know that you, sir, are an expert. And as you said, I think it makes a lot of sense that as you care more about things, you want to just treat them better. The texture thing's a big deal in my house. My wife will put jeans or towels in with anything, and yet I still have to tell her I love her. How do I do that? Because I know that if all the delicates go together, they're going to last far longer.
Of course. And you're also going to wash that on a delicate cycle or maybe a permanent press cycle because it's more gentle and they'll last a lot longer. People have these hang-ups with laundry, no pun intended. It depends on how much you care about your clothes. And some things you actually don't want to wash that often. You know, if you have a special pair of jeans you spent a lot of money on and it has a certain finish to it and you don't want it to fade or has like a gloss to it and you don't want to lose that, you don't really want to wash that. And if you're just wearing them out, you know, for a couple hours each time, you could probably get away with 5 uses, 10 uses before you need to wash it.
I'm going to be real. I got some jeans that I like never wash.
Yeah.
Never wash. If they ain't funky, I like them a little bit funky to tell you the truth, but not like if they don't smell funky,
right?
But there's a little funky. Think about Lenny Kravitz. When do you think the last time he washed his jeans was?
I don't think he ever washed.
That's right.
No.
It's exactly
someone else does it for him.
Well, you might be right about that. But
I usually have like a rule where if I wear my jeans 4 times, that's it. But to hear you say 5 to 10 times, I'm like, all right. Also, I don't think I've ever washed my bra. Is that a normal thing?
I think people generally wash undergarments after every use. But
yeah,
maybe
your bra,
you don't
not your
sweat.
Undies, not your mutans, not your undies, your bra.
Well, I can't speak for myself because I currently don't wear a bra.
Right, currently.
But I think my wife does go a few times before she throws it in the wash.
Like a year?
But so, no, a few times. So, you know, 3 wears and then in the laundry.
Richard, for a laundry expert, you should definitely check with your wife on that.
It's the dirtiest
secret. She has more than one. She definitely has more than one. And she calls me, at home I'm called the laundry czar because I'm the only one that's allowed to do laundry in the house. Although I've trained my kids, they're allowed to do it with supervision.
I love it. He's the only one allowed.
Yes.
Because if you catch somebody else in the house doing laundry, you know they did it wrong.
Well,
I love it.
That's like my house. All right, we're going to have more with Richard coming up next. How to do your laundry correctly. Joining us is Richard Handel. He is a laundry expert. You can learn more about him at consumerreports.org. Richard, what we've learned so far is that it is A-OK, according to you, to never wash your bra. Also, it's okay to never.
He did not say that. He did not say that.
I did not. I will not admit that.
He subscribes to the "Let's separate the clothes. Mm-hmm. Let's do different wash loads," which is not for everybody. If you care about the clothes, he thinks that's a good idea, though.
Right, and you also had mentioned about the jeans, 5 to 10 wears, which is a lot, but before you really need to wash them, which I thought was interesting.
I mean, unless you're getting filthy.
All right, so questions that I have that my family argues about all the time. One, can you shove the entire comforter inside the washing machine, even though it's really tight, and is it washing it by doing that?
Optimally, you want a little space at the top of the drum, so it will allow things to move around. It'll allow the detergent to circulate and get something clean. If it's, you stuff it in there and there is no space, you're going to wash maybe the exterior of it.
My husband and I argue about bleach and softener. I call those the sucker bets. Is there times that you should be using bleach and softener? Or, again, is that just a way for big laundry to take your money?
Wow. Big laundry?
Yep.
You know, bleach has a place. You have to use it carefully because if it's too concentrated, it can damage the material. But it does whiten whites. Softener is one of those things where I feel you can skip. A lot of people like it because of the feel it gives things, but it's really just a layer of residue on top of the fibers. That a lot of people like it for the fragrance. I suggest just taking your favorite fragrance, spraying it on a paper towel and sneaking that in your drawer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fragrance will emanate through your clothes. But I think you could skip it.
I told you softener was a sucker bet.
Okay. I don't really use it myself.
Okay, difference between hot water and cold water. Because to me, it all seems exactly the same.
Well, hot water costs more, right? Because you got to heat the water. We suggest using tap cold, which is whatever your tap is, and then one above that is what we suggest using. That will save you energy. We only suggest using hot water if, like, someone was sick in the house and you want to remove those contaminants, if there's someone with allergies. But you got to be careful when you use hot water to check the labels to make sure it's safe to wash those items in hotter water.
Two more quick questions, and I promise we'll leave you alone about all our laundry arguments. Number one, sneakers and baseball caps, do they belong in the washer and dryer?
Thank you. Big question.
Well, they can be washed if the manufacturer allows it in the machine, but I warn against it. I suggest a spot cleaning. Both sneakers and baseball hats have materials, like even might have cardboard that gives it that form that you never will get back after you wash it, especially for the hats. For sneakers, they have adhesives, and the process of washing and drying will weaken those adhesives, and you might eventually lose the sole and come apart.
Once you wash sneakers, they never fit the same. They never feel the same when you put them on your feet again after.
No.
Not ever. Washed a hat. I just toss it. But
no, I
sneakers,
washed a hat.
Never again.
Them. Yeah. Okay. And dryer sheets, also a sucker bet, yes or no?
Same thing as the fabric softeners. It's just putting a residue on your clothes. I suggest skipping it. A lot of people instead will use a wool ball or even tennis balls to, you know, break up the laundry as it's drying so it's not as stiff. And they also can reduce the static, the wool balls.
Richard Handel, we had a lot of questions about laundry. Thank you so much for taking the time to answer all of them. He's a laundry expert. You can find out more about him and all these answers at consumerreports.org. Thank you so much.
What couple?
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
It creates so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you have to figure out who you think is right. Beth and Brian. Beth, what's going on?
So my son wants a Jeep for his high school graduation. I think it's crazy. It's ridiculous. It's going to be a huge waste of money. He can't take it to college with him, and it's going to sit in the driveway. So what's the point? We're going to pay insurance on a car that nobody's driving.
Right.
Yeah, people may not be driving it right now, but let's say, like, our car, like, something kind of breaks down. We can definitely use that. No problem.
Brian's like, Jeeps are cool, and I understand why he likes it, and and I'm going to drive it the second he's out of the driveway.
Does he have a car now?
Yeah, he has a hand-me-down car.
Listen, obviously, he's free to ask for whatever he wants. It's up to you guys whether or not you got it. What does he say when you say you're not going to take it to school? You don't need it there. What I mean, what's his input or rationale on that?
He thinks it's like a rite of passage. He deserves it because he's, you know, starting a new phase of his life and he's grown up and he completed high school and it's a big deal and he just deserves something new and shiny and all of his friends have a new car.
I mean, how can you argue that? I mean, the thing is that, like, when I was young, I didn't even have, like, one of my own cars. Like, yeah, I've been driving jalopy, and the fact is that the kid deserves it. I mean, he got some great grades. I think, you know, he needs it. I mean, I think about his social life. If he was driving one of our cars at any point, that's not going to put on a good impression, and I want him to be successful at school anyway, especially social.
But wouldn't you want a new car when he graduates in 4 years or 5 years or whatever? Because at that point, now you've got an older new car that you only get to use like when you're at home for the breaks or in the winter or whatever.
That's the thing is seeing the future like that when you're, you know, fixated on something. When he comes home, he'll be the toast of the town. That's what he's thinking. Listen, I come from an age where, like, you know, if you had a terrible car, they were like, that builds character. I also understand it's an unbelievable human thing, Brian, for you to want to provide a better life for your son than you remember growing up. So you said it yourself. You had a jalopy. You feel like your son deserves better than that, and you feel like you guys can provide it and you can do it. It doesn't necessarily make it a practical choice. A lot of what Beth's saying makes sense, too. Just because all of his friends are getting a new car doesn't mean that, you know, he needs a new car today.
Yeah, especially if he's going away.
And the girl who likes him because he has a Jeep and doesn't like him because he doesn't have a Jeep, that's not the person you want him to be with anyway.
Well, yeah, because he's seeing like the 8, 9, 10 weeks where he's going to be home with his new car and he's going to be enjoying it.
I'd rather have him like have the option to kind of like go out there with a car instead of staying home, probably playing games all day too. Because like, all right, he was studying pretty much like every day. And then what'd he do? He was playing video games. At least with a nice car, he'll get the option. Probably a little bit more of a friend group from college and be able to just socialize a lot more out there.
You want it to be new and you don't think an old one makes sense. Beth, you know, if you're not giving your son a car, do you have a gift in mind?
Yeah, we'll give him a graduation gift. I mean, I think we've talked about giving him money as a gift to start, you know, his new life in college. Not a ton, but we'll give him money.
Sure.
And, you know, he's completed high school. He deserves a gift and he's starting a new life. But right. A car that's going to be a continuous money suck is not the way to do it.
Right. Money suck. Yeah. I like that. All right. You watch your language on this program.
Everything that you're saying, Beth, makes sense in my head, and everything Brian's saying makes sense in my heart.
Yeah.
Whose side are you on? Do you get your son a new car knowing that he's going to be going away in a few months?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Sometimes you're just not practical. You know, when it comes to your kids and there's something that they want, even though in your heart you're like, that's a waste of money. Why are we going to spend money there? You just want to make them happy because you love them, right?
Yeah, I mean, take all things into account, too. It's not like you're always practical making decisions for yourself. You've made mistakes in life. And so when you see your kid doing great, you want to reward them.
And that's what's going on with Beth and Brian. They're having a disagreement because their son is graduating high school and all he's ever wanted is a Jeep. He wants a Jeep. He wants a cool Jeep. And logistically, it doesn't make sense because he's going to have it for, what, 2 months, and then he's going to go off to school. He's going to be a freshman. He can't bring his car with him.
Yeah, Beth says, listen, this thing's just going to be out in the driveway. We're going to be paying insurance, registration, car payments on this thing. What a waste. Money suck was what she said, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And Brian says, who cares? He did great. He did all the things he was supposed to do. I had a terrible car when I was growing up. I want this kid to enjoy himself, enjoy his life.
Who said are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I am on both, but neither.
Oh.
I agree more with Beth, but not for her actual reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I have a daughter who's graduating as well.
Yeah.
They can't use it freshman year, so I absolutely agree with that. They're, you know, very few colleges let them take a car as a freshman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also agree that it's going to sit in the driveway until he comes home on the holidays.
It seems to me like you pretty much agree with her.
I agree with her more, but I think my reasons don't align 100%, if that makes sense.
I get it. You're torn as a parent. You want to give them something nice,
absolutely,
and you want to reward them.
My daughter can bring a car to college, so like we're probably going to get her something. My ex-husband and I are going to chip in and get her something.
Yeah.
She hasn't taken her road test yet. She's definitely procrastinating on
well,
that one.
One step at a time, right? Let's walk before we run then, but
who said are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Sometimes you make irrational decisions when it comes to your kids because you love them and you want them to be happy. But if your son asked for a Jeep for his graduation present, it's all he's ever wanted, and he's begged you and he did a great job, would you give it to him knowing perfectly well that he's going off to college and he can't really do anything with it and you're just be paying insurance while it sits in your driveway?
Yeah, it's funny. When you're looking at the facts, right, from the bird's eye view, Anna, you know, you might be on Brian's side and say, yeah, this is fun. This will be great to get him from him. Or maybe you're on Beth's side, so, and it's just not practical. But when it's your child and they're asking you and looking you in the face, it can be hard.
Right. Whose side are you on? Would you get him the car? 1-800-330-9999. Liz?
I'm definitely on the wife's side. He's only going to have the car for a couple weeks. He's going to go off to school and then what? Just show pictures of, hey, I got this new car. It just doesn't seem realistic and it kind of seems like a waste of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough when you really, really want something, but I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
Jessica, whose side are you on today?
I think they should get him the car. I just bought my son a car. I know what it's like to be a young boy and want something new. All of your friends are getting them. Just do it. They did well in high school. They graduated. They deserve that.
Thanks, Jessica.
Thanks
appreciate
for the call.
It.
I think it's interesting that she acknowledges that it's not practical, but sometimes you just want what you want. Hi, Kathy and Carol. Tell us, whose side are you on today? What do you think?
We're with the wife, 100%. If he's already got wheels, he can go out and socialize. And an 18-year-old just graduating school does not need a new car, especially if he's going away.
Yeah.
And then, like she said, it'll just be a money suck.
Yeah. So. You wanted to say that. I love it. You know, I mean, it seems to me like if he's going to go away, like, you know how it is that first year of college, man, there's so much growth. He's going to change his mind about what he wants like 8 times. I don't even think he'll care about it when he comes back.
I would disagree.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe not. Yeah,
I
maybe
mean, I think he'll probably care, but, you know, get that car when he graduates college. Yeah. Not now.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Beth, our audience agreed with you. It really doesn't make sense. If he wants a car in a few years when he graduates or he becomes a commuter on campus and he's got something, that's a different conversation. But most colleges are never going to let you bring a car the first year anyway. So why bother where it's just going to sit in your driveway and you have to pay insurance on it?
Totally. I'm glad they agree. And that's exactly what I think. It's going to be a waste of money. And we can do other things. He can feel accomplished in other ways. And he doesn't need a brand new car that's going to sit in our driveway and cost us money for no reason other than to say, oh, I have a new car.
Brian, I mean, disappointing for today and disappointing for your son. I have no doubt he's going to be upset when you inform him. However, I also have absolutely zero doubt that by the time the next school year ends, he's probably not going to care as much about it as he does right now. He's probably going to have something else in mind that he could use or he needs or whatever. So if a reward comes then, it might be a little bit more practical. Then again, he might be like, you're getting me the Jeep and you're getting it with a lift kit now because you made me wait. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I get it. But if he's going to borrow the car, he's going to ask you, Hunter, right?
Yeah, well. All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$2,200 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. All right, Steve, you ready to play?
Sure am.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it, Steve. $2,200. Here we go.
Steve, you know your stuff? You think you could take Raven down?
Stranger things have happened.
Okay, stranger things have happened. Let's do this. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, okay?
Okay, Anna, thank you.
All right. Number one. If you believe the reports, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce reportedly will be married at MSG on July 3rd. What does MSG stand for?
Madison Square Garden.
Number two, Kim Kardashian showed up to support her boyfriend, Lewis Hamilton, at what famous European F1 racing event that took place this past weekend?
Monaco.
Number three, Prada is designing garments for astronauts to wear when they go to the moon, leading the way in space fashion. What unusual material helped make Prada handbags famous in the 1980s?
Nylon.
What did you say?
Nylon. I have no idea.
Number four, Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater have quietly broken up. They were co-stars in what movie series?
Oh, hell, I don't know.
This is wild, Steve. Number five, Netflix is bringing Scooby-Doo to life. Next year, there will be a live-action Scooby-Doo series with a real dog. What breed of dog is Scooby-Doo?
Labrador.
Oh, gosh, Steve. All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
That was wild. 3 out of 5 for Steve.
All right, not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do. Here we go. A lot of money.
Number one, if you believe the reports, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce reportedly will be married at MSG on July 3rd. Yeah. MSG. What does MSG stand for?
Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
Thank you.
Number two, Kim Kardashian showed up to support her boyfriend, Lewis Hamilton, at what famous European F1 racing event that took place this past weekend?
This past weekend was Monaco GP.
Yes. Number three, Prada is designing garments for astronauts to wear when they go to the moon. They're leading the way in space fashion. Okay. What unusual material helped make Prada handbags famous in the 1980s?
I'm going to guess, because I know that they're putting it in spacesuits. It's Kevlar?
No. It's nylon. And Steve got that right. And when he got it right, I had to ask him to repeat it because I couldn't believe he got it right.
Wow. Wow, all right. Steve. All right.
Number four, Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater have quietly broken up. They were co-stars in what movie series?
Wicked.
Yes, you guys are tied at 3.
Yeah.
Number five, Netflix is bringing Scooby-Doo to life. Next year, there's going to be a live-action Scooby-Doo series with a real dog. What breed of dog is Scooby-Doo?
He's a hound, right?
No, he's a Great Dane.
Well, the puppy's beautiful. Very, very cute. I saw him.
All right, Steve. I mean, stranger things could have happened. You almost had it if you had one of these other ones. I mean, the Ariana Grande, Ethan Slater one was one that you should have got.
How did you know what the bag of them
was? He said he guessed. He guessed. All right, Steve.
Tell me to guess. I guess.
I'm going to get you an Anne on Raven t-shirt.
Oh, boy. Isn't that special? Oh, I can't be Raven, but you can't be me either.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, man. $2,300 tomorrow, Anna.